What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Fight the Podcast, and I'm super duper excited to have everybody back here today. Today's episode, we're going to be going over the Gabby Petito details. I'm also going to be talking about Nicki Minaj's cousin's balls and AOC's dress at the Met Gala. Should be a good time. Fight the Podcast starts in 3, 2, 1. Yeah, Fight the Podcast.
We ain't playing no games right here. Fist raised high, you can see it real clear. Speaking the real, you know you can trust this. Political talks, the social justice. For the people, not corruption and greed. Fight the podcast, that's all that you need. For the people, not corruption and greed. Fight the podcast, that's all that you need. Yeah, fight the podcast. Fight the podcast.
Well, what do we have here? We have the return. Some say we wouldn't if you know, I heard some rumors, you know, and I really hate to even say this out loud, but I did hear some rumors that some people were trying to say that Fight the Podcast wasn't coming back for season 3. Now, I know I did say that it was supposed to become like late August, but for anybody who knows me personally or like from Fight the Podcast or from my YouTube channel, you know that I am a complete fucking liar. So that was a lie. You got lied to and wrecked. And I'm actually bringing the podcast back now. You're either listening to this Thursday, which is the day that this is being recorded, or Friday. One of those days you're listening to this. And it's good to be back, guys. It's good to be back, you know. Fight the Podcast is really the closest thing I have to a therapy session of me just talking to myself for a few hours and rambling just my deranged thoughts to the couple hundred people who have downloaded my podcast over the course of its existence. We're about at 504 downloads on people's phones, which is pretty crazy. I don't know how much that translates to listens, because the analytics doesn't actually tell us listens. It doesn't do that. It actually just tells us the downloads and like some other stuff and people who follow. Which, by the way, you guys need to fucking follow this shit, okay? If you listen to this goddamn podcast, just go ahead and click that follow button, all right? Click the darn plus sign thingamajigger right there, okay? That way you'll know exactly when the podcast goes up. And it'll be super, you know, easy, and, you know, the analytics will maybe give me a little juice, you know, but nevertheless, we got a lot to talk about, and believe me, it was quite a lot of picking and choosing what I wanted this podcast to be about. I mean, not only in the last couple of months has there just been a torrential downpour of just dumb shit. I was actually going to bring the Fight the Podcast back earlier for the Afghanistan thing that was happening when Afghanistan, you know, America first pulled out of Afghanistan, but I decided to wait a little bit, and really, in just the last week alone, I have some very interesting stories that I wanted to talk about. Now, before I get into some of the more lighthearted things or anything like that, I think that there's really no better place to start our conversation off with really what's been the biggest story of 2021 so far in terms of like news coverage, and you know, or that like true crime shit that a lot of people like, and that's Gabby Petito. Gabby Petito story that has been all over social media, all over TikTok, and all over different social media pages. There have been people following this story, you know, keeping tracks and updating every little detail of this story. And I only began following this story about a week ago. I am going to fill in the details for people who might have not know exactly what's been going on. It's not going to take too long. And believe me, there's going to be about 500,000 different true crime goddamn documentaries, Netflix specials. I mean, honestly, people are talking about this shit like it's not even real. Like I understand the, you know, you want it to be entertaining, and it's a very entertaining. it's a not really a murder mystery, because it wasn't, it was never a mystery, and I'll get into that in a second. But it's definitely a interesting criminal case in terms of, and you know, and I'm not the type of person to not, you know, to shine away from a good murder mystery story or like not watch a a BuzzFeed Unsolved every once in a while. But that being said, these are still real people that we're talking about, so we gotta have a little bit more respect for everything. We can't look at this shit like it's just entertainment. It's actually it's people's lives, you know. But anyway, Gabby Petito story. Gabby Petito, 22-year-old woman, white woman, was in her 23-year-old, also white boyfriend Brian Laundrie, on they did a cross country road trip, and their transit, you know, one of those big Ford Transit vans, through the American like Midwest into like the West, over this summer of 2021. All right, and just for the record, I'm getting all this via CNN. So if you want to look up the story that I'm actually talking about or reading from, it's right from CNN. So you can go ahead and get that. But throughout the trip, the couple had posted online regularly about their travels with the hashtag van life. And then those posts seem to have abruptly stopped around late August. This was followed with Brian Laundrie, her, you know, her boyfriend driving the van, which is her van, Gabby Petito's van. It was not Brian Laundrie's van. So he came back from the trip driving her van without Gabby Petito. So if you can imagine this, if your friend, sister, or whatever goes off on a cross-country trip, a driving trip, road trip with her boyfriend, the boyfriend comes back driving her car without her. Okay. So, also, he returned back to his parents' home, which is in Northport, Florida. Now, I don't have the thing set up right now. I'm not 100% sure if they started in Florida or if Gabby Petito lived in Florida. I'm not 100% sure, but this happened on September 1st, right? And then her family was unable to get in contact with her, I'm assuming, from, what, around August? When they stopped posting videos. But they reported her missing 10 days later. Okay, so, again, I'm going to try to hold my comments to the, you know, to the end, but there are some things in the story that I have a lot of questions about. So, obviously, Laundrie was the last person to see Gabby Petito alive. He was acting extremely sus. He declined to speak with authorities looking into her appearance, her disappearance. His parents then reported him missing on about September 17th. So, he was not arrested, even though being questioned by the police, even though he was the first, or rather the last person to see Gabby Petito, and he acted extremely suspicious by, for whatever reason, coming back from a cross-country trip without Gabby. Okay. And now he has went missing, since September 17th, he's been missing. Now, since, the initial search for Gabby Petito, which had taken the nation by storm, there was a lot of people looking for her, her remains, were unfortunately recovered in Wyoming at the Bridger-Teton National Forest on Sunday, and her autopsy has been concluded with the coroner making the initial determination this Tuesday that she died by homicide. Now, before I make any more comments, let me just say this. First and foremost, rest in peace to Gabby Petito. Really sad story by itself. It sucks that her life now has to be sort of fit and categorized through a lot of different political lens or through a lot of different, you know, commentary lens. But at the end of the day, Gabby Petito was just a victim of domestic abuse that ultimately took her life. And it's actually very sad and tragic about that. That's, recently, so this is after she had gone missing and after the whole TikTok sort of trend and everything had been set up about her. There were a police dash cam footage of actually a cop had pulled over the two, you know, the couple. So this is when Gabby was still around, you know, still alive at this point. And they, you know, they had been some sort of physical altercation between Gabby and her boyfriend, Brian Laundrie. He had scratches on him, and the cop had tried to, you know, tried to talk to her and calm her down, and try to figure out what had happened. And Gabby was sort of saying that her mental health was taking a, you know, a big toll on everything, and that she was depressed, and, you know, that she was stressed out about this relationship and stuff like that. So you can only imagine, you know, obviously the details as to exactly when she died. And exactly how she died has not been cleared. The only details has been that it is a homicide. Okay, so, you know, whatever happened, the coroner felt as though it was a homicide. And that is basically what we know right now for Gabby Petito. So rest in peace to her, first and foremost. You don't deserve to be killed for any reason, really, any sort of domestic abuse reason, especially not. And 61, you know, here's a statistic for y'all. 61% of women killed, okay, 61% of women who are killed by a significant other or a close family member. 61%, okay, are killed by a significant other, usually a man, who is the closest person to them, usually romantically involved with them. Those are the people who kill or who women die by. Their boyfriends, their ex-boyfriends, their brothers, their cousins, their fathers. The men in their lives that are supposed to help them, protect them, provide for them, assist them in achieving what they need to achieve. You know, those are the people who actually end up being the most hostile towards women when it comes to femicide. And so Gabby Petito, unfortunately, is very clearly another statistic of this. And I wanted to do and say my condolences and stuff out of the way, because I didn't want my following comments to make it seem as though I'm insensitive to her death as like a person, as a person who was a daughter to her parents and a sister, and, you know, and friend, which is not at all the case. But time to talk about the obvious, right? Time to talk about the very, very obvious thing, which is that the Gabby Petito case, how it's been handled by the police, how it's been handled by the FBI, how it's been handled by the media, is nothing more than a token example, a clear example of white privilege at its finest. For a variety of reasons, through a variety of lenses, okay? Let's talk about, first of all, the attention Gabby Petito's case has gotten. The national coverage that this case has gotten. This case is not that fucking complicated to fucking understand, guys, right? It's not that complicated to understand maybe what happened here. Gabby Petito was a victim of domestic abuse. Her boyfriend was a toxic, abusive man who tortured her, who probably emotionally abused her, who very clearly had a history of physical violence against her, and who ultimately took her life, very obviously, by the fact that, okay, look, imagine, fellas, to the men listening to this, or I'm not going to just say men, or whoever, right? Imagine that you are going to California on a cross-country trip. You live in Philadelphia, and you're going a cross-country trip to fucking California on a goddamn trip, right, with your girlfriend. And you come back without your girlfriend, and the police ask you, where is your girlfriend? We haven't spoken to her in weeks. We haven't seen her in weeks. We don't know where she is. And you're able to, what, talk your way out of not being immediately arrested? What was the reason for him not to have been immediately arrested? First question. Why was Brian Laundrie not arrested for being the last person to see Gabby Petito alive and well? After coming back home with her car, I've seen some people saying that he should have been arrested for Grand Theft Auto. That was, you know, I think that's a reason to maybe detain him, especially when it was very obvious that he wasn't being very helpful in the fucking investigation, right? I don't get why he was able to not be immediately be arrested. That's number one. Number two, how the fuck does he escape? How does Brian Laundrie able to escape from his parents' home? And now they're tracking him to like certain like nature reserves, and he's like in the woods. Very recently, before starting this, I saw a TikTok which said that he went live on his Instagram Live, and he was like either on a boat or in some sort of body of water. How is he able to escape? Are you trying to imply that the FBI, the local police department, there was nobody watching him? There was nobody watching him, making sure that he didn't run away? The person most likely who was responsible for Gabby Petito's disappearance? What sense does this make? It makes zero sense. It is unthinkable to think that the police and the FBI were just this bad at doing the fucking bare minimum of what they had to do. They had to do the bare minimum when it came to... Okay, it's not taking Batman and Sherlock Holmes to figure it out. I already said the statistic, okay? Most likely when... Unfortunately, when a girl goes missing, it's her boyfriend who did it. Most likely. That's just the statistic. You don't monitor the boyfriend, you allow him to escape. There has to be something more to that. There just fucking has to be. I understand cops are dumbasses, don't get me wrong. Cops are a bunch of fucking high school motherfucking diploma-having dickheads who fucking couldn't do anything else as well to become police officers. But, I mean, I do have respect for detectives. And I feel like an FBI agent, you know, I'm pretty sure you... don't you need, like, a college degree to become an FBI agent? I don't know. But doesn't, like, what is the reason? There has to be a deeper reason other than just ignorance, right? There has to be more to the story other than just the cops were dumb. And then they allowed this man to have up to, what, like a weak head start on the police? He couldn't even, he's probably not even, if he's not dead somewhere, which personally, I don't think he would kill himself. He seems to be a very cowardly man. These types of men who do this type of shit, you know, they have a lot of self-hatred and self-pain and stuff directed towards them, but at the same time, they also are cowards. They don't want to kill themselves. They're scared of that. They're scared of taking that sort of ultimate, you know, sacrifice. So instead, they go and they take that and they give it to somebody else, and they allow somebody else to have that sacrifice where they can take all their inner anger out on them. And you know, there's nothing more dangerous in this world than a weak man, okay? Nothing more dangerous in the history of the universe than a weak man. A man who, you know, it's one thing to be emotional as a man. I'm an emotional man, but it's another thing to negatively affect those around you in a sort of just destructive way. Especially in a physically harmful way. Like, who the fuck do you think you are? You think that your girlfriend makes you mad? You get to hit her? Like, actually hit her? You get to grab her? Choke her? Like, what the fuck are you talking about? And best believe, these types of guys never have this sort of energy when it comes to another man. These sort of men who do this sort of shit never have this sort of energy to do these sort of physical confrontations with another man. It only manifests with women. It only manifests with people that are physically weaker than they are. Okay? So, that's one lens of white privilege, is the obvious discrimination, or not discrimination, but obvious discrepancy is what I was looking for, between how the police have handled this investigation and how any other investigation would be held, whether or not that's specifically attributed to white privilege, or maybe that's attributed to the fact that maybe this guy has connections to somebody, maybe he's the nephew of the DA or the police chief, or who knows what information is going to come up with it. Personally, I think it's a little weird that her family waited fucking 10 days to report her missing. Like, excuse me? Her boyfriend comes home from a trip and then 10 days, it takes you guys over a fucking week of having no contact at all with your daughter, with your sister, before you call the police? That doesn't sound right to me. That sounds that sounds suspect to me, personally. So, so that's the first lens of white privilege, right? The second lens is just the coverage that this story has gotten. And again, obviously Gabby Petito doesn't deserve, she deserved the attention to her case, and she deserved to be brought, you know, have people looking for her to bring her for, you know, to justice. But this has been nonstop news coverage, okay? There's a lot of women missing right now. There's a lot of women missing right now. There's a lot of women who have gone missing, and around the same time frame that Gabby Petito has gone missing. And they don't get the sort of coverage that Gabby Petito gets. And one of that is the fact that Gabby Petito is a white woman. And I know some of you might get mad about that and be like, well, how do you know? Listen, mostly white people in America, it's easier to project that sort of empathy to be like, oh, you know, that could be my daughter. And that's the same race as the majority of people in America. When they see a little black girl that goes missing, a lot of white America are able to separate themselves from that person, or maybe even come up with a you know, some sort of reason for why they're not even, it's not even important that they're missing, you know? This shit's real. There are hundreds of thousands of black girls missing. Like, black girls from all different age groups, okay? And there's thousands of indigenous women missing. I believe indigenous women are the most likely to go missing, despite being, what, less than 2% of the U.S. population, indigenous women, and they're the most likely group of people to be murdered, to be kidnapped, to be sexually assaulted. Why doesn't everyone get the same attention as the white woman? Okay? Why doesn't everybody get the same attention as the white woman who goes missing? That's the thing that a lot of people are just saying. And it's hard to not bring up that type of shit because it's so obvious, the goddamn discrepancy. It's so obvious what the discrepancy is, right? That's all I'm going to talk about for this situation right now, okay? There's going to be a lot more information coming in the next couple of weeks, of course. There's going to be a lot of people talking about it, so I'm going to move on to that because I think I've said pretty much everything I needed to say about the Gabby Petito situation. Once again, rest in peace to Gabby Petito. Fuck Brian Laundrie. Turn yourself in, you fucking piece of shit. Coward motherfucker. Just turn yourself in. Be a fucking man for once in your goddamn fucking life and actually just do the right damn thing. If you're still alive and you didn't blow your brains out, I think you're too much of a fucking pussy to blow your brains out on the off 1% chance that Brian Laundrie is listening to this shit. You know, fuck you, Brian. Anyway, let's talk about Nicki Minaj's cousin's balls. Yeah. Wow, man. This is the dumbest shit I've ever had to fucking talk about, I think, ever on the podcast. I was actually amazed by how dumb the shit actually was, to be completely honest. I was actually surprised that, well, like, when I read the tweets, initially when all this shit happened, which is, like, about a week ago at this point, I was genuinely amazed by, the dialogue and the shit that I was seeing on Twitter. You know, Twitter is a place you can go if you want to see some people say some wild, dumb shit. Twitter is the place to go, okay? So, if for those of you who don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, I'm just going to say it like this. Nicki Minaj, one of the most acclaimed rappers in the 21st century, posted quite a bit of cringe on Twitter related to the COVID-19 vaccine. So, I'm going to read her quote. So, the first tweet, I believe, that kicked everything off, she had said, quote, "They want you to get vaccinated for the Met. If I get vaccinated, it won't be for the Met. It'll be once I feel I've done enough research. I'm working on that now." End quote. Okay. Already, pause.
If I get vaccinated, so implying that she's not vaccinated right now at the time of her making that tweet, right? If I get vaccinated, it won't be for the Met Gala. It'll be once I feel I've done enough research. I'm working on that now.
You know, one thing that always entertains me when people talk about anti-vaxxers and anti-vaxxer arguments and shit is that I haven't done enough research. Motherfucker, you're not doing no goddamn research. What the fuck are you talking about? I haven't done enough research. Nicki Minaj, you think Nicki Minaj is reading academic journals about the fucking vaccine, COVID, fucking coronavirus proteins or some shit? Like, what are you talking about, Nicki? What is this idea that you actually give a fuck about these things more than a surface level gut reaction to the, you know, that's all it is. All anti-vaxxing thing is just, I don't want to. That's it. It's just the gut. I don't like a vaccine because it's like a needle. Or I don't want something in my body. It's nothing more sophisticated than that. At its core, okay? Research? Bitch, the research has been done. What fucking research needs to be done? We have researchers. We have scientists. We have people who do research nonstop on this shit that have already told us that the vaccine's fine. That have already told us that the vaccine is okay to use. Wait, what research do you need to do personally? Do you need to go conduct a fucking meteorology report because you don't trust the goddamn weatherman? That he said it's going to rain tomorrow? You're like, well, who the fuck are you to say it's going to rain tomorrow? Let me do my own research. What is this That's insanity. I hope people realize that not trusting an expert on something is actually irrational. Because you're not smarter than a scientist about a scientific issue, right? You have to have that amount of... gotta be at least that humble, right? But unfortunately, Nicki Minaj is not done, so... in the meantime, my loves, be safe. Wear the mask with two strings to grip your head and face. Not that loose one. Okay, well, yeah, I agree. You should wear a mask. I agree with that. Unfortunately, she couldn't end this whole shit on a high note because then she says, Minaj quickly followed this. I'm reading via a GQ article, by the way. Minaj quickly followed this with an anecdote about her cousin's friend in Trinidad. who she claimed received the vaccine and became impotent. Quote, his testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision. Not bullied. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding. This is stupid, guys. This is dumb. What purpose is there to say something like this? This is dumb. Okay, I don't really know what I'm supposed to say. It doesn't do that. The vaccine doesn't swell your fucking balls. You know how many people would have had swollen balls by now if that was even a... like, small percentage of a reaction that could have happened. What a dumb thing to say. What more would you say to, like, in, like, a developing country or, like, a country that isn't that fucking good and then not doing that fucking well off with, like, healthcare and, like, COVID rates and stuff like that than to be like, oh, guys, it's gonna make your balls swell. And then women aren't gonna want to fuck you, so don't do that. Let's keep in mind that Nicki Minaj is actually vaccinated, by the way. She actually ended up saying that she actually is vaccinated. Which is really malicious when you think about it, because that means that you're spreading COVID misinformation about the vaccine, but then you actually got the vaccine. So the only thing that you're doing is that you're influencing people to not get the vaccine. Which is just like, is the goal murder? Is the goal to kill other people? Is the goal to make other people get COVID-19? And I really like this fucking language that she uses here, right? Not bullied. Not bullied
Bullying to them is when you let these fucking conservatives, right wingers, anti-vaxxers, celebrity fucking children, right? Bullying to them means saying the truth. If you don't allow them to live in their little fantasy world, then you're bullying them. If you don't allow them to spread their COVID vaccine misinformation, then you're bullying them. Maybe y'all deserve to be bullied. Maybe you guys are like nerds and we should shove you into lockers. Maybe you guys are bad people who should shut the fuck up and stop spreading misinformation because it's going to get people killed. Your fucking cousin's friend fucked some other like prostitute and got like gonorrhea, bro. That's why his goddamn balls were fucking swollen. He didn't get it from the goddamn COVID-19 vaccine. Are you joking? Thing is, though, I don't believe Nicki Minaj is stupid. Like, you can't convince me. Like, Nicki Minaj is one of the greatest rappers to ever exist. And she is a good lyricist who can write a very smart thing. So, when I look at these sort of things, I honestly have no choice but to kind of think she's not being stupid, but she is being malicious in, like, some really weird way. That for whatever fucking reason, she wants people to not get the COVID-19 vaccine. Even though she is vaccinated, obviously she's vaccinated. I don't get it. So just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision. Praying on it and doing research are completely different fucking things. So I don't understand why you're... Like, the language is always to just dismiss the person who's like, can you get a vaccine? No, and I shouldn't have to be forced to get a vaccine. Actually, you can't. You should be. You absolutely fucking should be forced to get a goddamn vaccine because the vaccine affects other people. Depending on, if you know, it's like, imagine if there was a law that forced people to put the carts back from a grocery store. Think about all the dumbass people who just leave the cart, even though, you know, it's like a 5-foot walk to put the damn cart back at a grocery store. Imagine there was a law that, like, made it mandatory. How many people would be bitching about that? Even though it's just, like, a very basic thing that you can do, and it takes, like, no effort, but... Yeah, so, basically, this shit blew up the fuck on Twitter. It got to the point where Nicki Minaj then began sharing Tucker Carlson. Yes. Tucker Carlson, Fox News commentator, white supremacist, clips... because I think Twitter had suspended her account for spreading COVID misinformation. She got mad about it, and then she went on the whole big tech is doesn't follow the First Amendment, even though that's not what the First Amendment fucking applies to. The First Amendment applies to fucking government, dumbasses. Never fucking applied to private enterprises whose business is to monitor communication. Imagine telling a fucking phone company that they can't have the right to fucking, not allow, like, certain people to, like, use the phone. If it's their phone company, like, what are you talking about? Or saying, like, yeah, a phone company isn't allowed to, like, you're not allowed to, like, call Nazis and, like, have conference calls for, like, Nazis, and, like, neo-SS meetings, right? And they're like, what the fuck is the right to free speech? We can do that. And it's like, yeah, you can do that, but not on our goddamn phone. Not on our service. You can spread legally, you can spread COVID misinformation, just not on Twitter. Because that's against Twitter's policies. And there's rules when you use other people's systems and shit, you know. Again, these people are rich, spoiled fucking brats. So, you know, the idea of saying, telling them, no, you can't do something. They don't understand that. That's like fucking death to them. Okay. So she started retweeting Tucker Carlson. Then Hassan, leftist red tuber stream Hassan Piker, Hassan Bai. I actually ended up commenting on the post with Tucker Carlson saying something along the lines of, oh, Tucker Carlson wouldn't have even let you on the back of the bus. Which, very funnily, more people got mad at Hassan, who was the PLC, for saying that instead of Nicki Minaj for actually spreading misinformation from an actual white supremacist. And then when Hassan had said that that was a white supremacist, and Nicki Minaj was like, I don't care about what political party he's from. What? White supremacist isn't a fucking political party, you dumbass. You fucking idiot. White supremacist is an ideology that's going to, that wants your extermination, sees you and your influence in America as fucking degeneracy. Okay? That's what white supremacists are. They're not a fucking political party. They're an evil ideology. So you want to go ahead and ignore the fact that there are white supremacists to fucking, just because they're agreeing with you? Go right ahead. But best believe people are going to call you out on that shit, because that's disgusting. It's embarrassing. I don't know why we're expecting this woman to have decency. She married a child rapist. Can we talk about that?
Her husband raped a 14-year-old girl at, like, at weapon point. I've heard it was a knife or a gun. It doesn't really fucking matter.
Brutally raped a 14-year-old girl while he was 15 years old. Went to jail for it and is, like, a level 2 sex offender or some shit.
Who she married and had children with. This is Nicki Minaj. So maybe she just doesn't give a fuck about other people. Maybe she's just, like, evil or something. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised at this point. I'm sick of it. I think it was actually fucking Ben Shapiro of all mother goddamn people who said something along the lines of, never assume stupidity, or whatever, the never assume malice when stupidity will do. But I think calling Nicki Minaj stupid is really ignoring the point. I think this is evil. I think it's evil to spread COVID misinformation knowingly, obviously. Like, obviously, the fucking COVID-19 vaccine didn't goddamn cause your cousin's brother's fucking friend's uncle's balls to swell up. Okay, he should have wrapped it up before he dipped into some shit he had no business dipping into, apparently. So that's number one. I don't know, guys. This shit makes me fucking want to blow my fucking brains out. What these are the people who have all the influence in the world, by the way. These are the people who have all the goddamn followers, and they say the dumb shit like this nonstop, okay? So that's that. Nicki Minaj needs some fucking help with that shit. Apparently now, the anti-vaxxer community and the Barb community have joined into one community, which I never would have thought. Like, this is such a 2021 thing to happen, that Barb community and the fucking and the goddamn anti-vaxxer communities of two very unlikely, you know, enemies turned to lovers, they say. Is, you know, that's something that's going on. And well, that's that. I mean, really, what else can you say? What else can you say about that type of shit? I mean, it's dumb. It's ridiculous, and I don't know why people are giving that sort of nonsense any sort of any sort of anything. It's dumb.
Speaking of dumb shit,
and also I had briefly mentioned the Met Gala earlier. Let's talk about another thing that happened at the Met Gala. AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, went to the Met Gala. In a tax-the-rich dress. It caused quite a conversation. The Met Gala tickets go for about $30,000 a pop if you're not invited. And she was invited, so she didn't pay $30,000 to go to a ticket, okay? And the dress that she used was like this designer dress by some Black Canadian, I believe, Singalese designer who loaned her the dress, so she didn't buy it, you know. And she went to the AOC, and she went to the Met Gala, and she had text the rich, and that's it. It's performative, okay? So just understand that. If you can acknowledge that it's performative, we have nothing to argue about. If you can say that it's performative, then it's nothing to argue about. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing to do. I think it's a little, maybe not the best optic-wise of someone who is presenting themselves as a politician, who's of the people, for the people, you know, basically going to the most bourgeois event of the year, which is the Met Gala. Okay? I don't think I'm unrealistic for saying, you know, pointing out that very obvious fact. You know, the AOC stands have been
Like, oh, how dare someone make fun of AOC for going to the, oh, yes, they tried to think that that's a, I mean, guys, she's from the, she's supposed to be a working class person from the Bronx. She wants to go have fun with the Met Gala and, like, take pictures with celebrities and fraternize a bunch of fucking rich people. Go ahead. But I am going to make fun of you for it. As a poor man who is a democratic socialist and a working class man, I'm going to make fun of it because it's kind of funny. And it's not activism. Can we just acknowledge that it's not activism? And we can do that, then we're good. If we can acknowledge that this is not anything activism, that, like, going to, like, a bourgeois party with, like, a fucking bumper sticker goddamn painted on your dress. I don't understand, guys. These are the people who are going to lead us into the socialist revolution. These are the people we have that, you know, carry the legacy of democratic socialists in America post, you know, 2016, which is when this shit was at its highest. Then, I miss the old AOC, straight from the Grove AOC. I hate this new AOC. but that's really it, guys. I'm not gonna fucking pretend like this is like a whole lot of shit to talk about. This, you know, I also don't have a guest this week because I actually triple booked myself for guests. And, none of them, I actually ended up, like, kind of, like, fucking fumbling it with all of them at the same time as it goes, so, this episode might be a little shorter than usual, because there's no part B, but, officially there's gonna be another Tiger King season 2? Is it gonna be following the same motherfuckers, or, like, what's going on here? Is there a new Tiger King? I think it is still following Joe Exotic. By the way, you guys know that Tiger King first came out during, like, when the pandemic first started, right? That's how long that it's been that, like, it's like, oh, they're making a sequel to Tiger King? And it's like, wait a minute, that was, like, one of the first things that we watched at the beginning of the fucking quarantine, guys. I don't think this shit's gonna end, to be honest. But, hey, as long as I have you guys with me, I'm going to be A-okay. And, this has been Jordan, and we're back. Season 3, Fight the Podcast. I don't have a guest I this week, but we're going to have a lot of guests. And I have a lot of very interesting guests and shit lined up. But thank you all to people who have been supporting me for Fight the Podcast. Thank you to all the people who have been liking it and subscribing it and downloading it. You guys are awesome. So, this has been Jordan. Make sure to follow me on all the social media handles. Go on to subscribe to my YouTube channel at American Black Rhino Media. And I'll see you guys next week, I guess. Peace out.